welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Capital City Cavaliers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Kyle McAravey of the News Tribune. And before Kyle and I start to get things started this week, let's listen to a little bit of his conversation with Capital City head coach Joe Collier.
Overall, you've had a chance to look at the film, so just any new general thoughts on how last week's game went?
Just, opportunities that we didn't take, that we and it cost us, it ended up costing us, at, you know, by the end of the game. So just really got to take advantage of the opportunities given to us. I'm pretty sure if next time we see them, we'll try our best to make sure we take advantage of those opportunities.
So kind of on that idea, you had just the two offensive touchdowns. What can the guys do this week to kind of get more back on track and finish off some more drives?
That's cute. Just simple as that. Simple as that. Just, we like what we do. We're going to do what we do. Everybody knows what we're going to do. We just need to execute it.
And I guess, what do you think will be the key to rebounding this week and coming out strong against Sedalia?
Just having a good week of practice and you know, just focus on, work on them things that we didn't quite execute, and execute.
All right. That was Capital City head coach Joe Collier. You know, we always like to look back before we look forward, and I think this week especially, we're going to probably spend probably more time looking back than we are looking forward just based on who this week's opponent is, but we'll get to that in a minute. We thought the Capital City-Helias game last week was going to be a good one. We thought it might be close. I don't think that we thought it was going to be 24-22 close, and it didn't seem like it was going to be that close until right at the very end. So I guess explain to the folks who weren't there just what the heck happened at the very end of that game on last Friday night.
It was 24-14 with about, I think, 2 seconds left on the clock.
Right.
Elias calls a timeout, lines up to kick a field goal specifically to get to a 13-point margin of victory, which is where you get the maximum amount of district points
Sure. For
a win.
Right.
And, you know, the coaching staffs talked about that after the game, said, you know, we weren't trying to run it up or anything, just going specifically for those district points.
Sure.
Instead, kick was blocked and returned for a touchdown as the buzzer sounded, you know, no time left on the clock. Then Capital City goes for two, specifically to shift district points the other way and get it to a 2-point margin of victory instead. So it was all just kind of the, working the district standings.
Sure. And it almost seemed like it sounds like from both talking to you and Tom after the game, sounds like there was maybe even just a little confusion amongst the players, because it sounded like some of the highest players didn't even necessarily pursue the ball after it got blocked.
Yeah, it seemed like nobody really knew that you could return a block kick.
right.
there was, I think, two Capital City players, the one who returned it, and then one guy ran with him down the field, and then nobody else went with him. You know, the other, 19, 20 guys on the field were all just standing around and watching as two guys ran down the field.
Right.
It didn't seem like anyone was quite sure whether they would get to kick an extra point or go
right.
for two, or if the game was just going to be over.
Exactly.
So, you know, the team started going out for their handshake lines and everything and had to be told, no, get back to the sidelines. We've just got another play to run. You know, it was just the whole, from the timeout on, was just kind of very confusing,
right.
I think, to everybody in the stands, because Helias, you know, the play before had run the ball, the clock was running, and
right.
you say, all right, just finish it off, take your 10-point win.
But yeah. I guess as a shameless plug, that's why you read the newspaper the next day to find out exactly why things happened, because that's what you and Tom were there to figure out and try to figure out, okay, why did things play out the way they did? Back to the game itself, though, in terms of whether it be, you know, a 2-point margin victory, 10-point margin victory, whatever. One, I'm sure it's not the result that Capital City was wanting from this game, but also, again, as we like to say a lot of times in these podcasts, if you would have told me at the beginning of the season that this was going to be that close of a game, I think that's something that a lot of people did not see coming.
Yeah, that was something Coach Collier was talking about a little bit after the game. You know, last season, 2 seasons ago, Helias crushed Capital City.
Right.
You know, pretty easy, big wins. And, well, yeah, he's not happy with a loss, but the incremental working toward that win, you know, it keeps looking better and better every time Capital City plays Helias, and I think, you know, they're probably pretty happy with the view they got of what Helias wants to do as the teams line up and, you know, might face each other again in the district playoffs.
Yeah. So I guess the biggest takeaway from it, really, from my standpoint as an outsider looking in and kind of reading the stuff, that I kind of expected that Capital City might have a little bit more success running the ball in that game than what they did. And I you know, I don't know if you were surprised by that all, but that's got to be something that I assume that going forward, and if there is a second meeting between those teams, that's something where they're going to want to be better at that next time around.
Definitely. That was the first time, really, that Capital City's been stopped on the ground this season. You know, I think I had it in my story, but I'm pretty sure they only had 2 rushing plays go for 10 yards. Usually that's 6, 7, 8, 9.
Right.
You know, they're usually able to chunk off at least a few big plays and then, you know, maybe average out 4 or 5 yards a carry
sure.
the rest of the game.
Right.
And instead, you know, they had I think it was a 55-yard run from Jalen Thomas and then like an 11-yard run from Jalen Thomas, and then nothing else went for more than 4 yards.
Okay.
And Helias just did a really, really good job stopping those runs up the middle that Capital City's been able to be so successful on this year.
So is that maybe a cause for concern going forward from the standpoint of, you know, you've had success being able to do that, and all of a sudden you run up against somebody that you can't do that against. There's a natural tendency to go then, oh my gosh, then what do we have to figure out that we do when that doesn't work? Or is it just a matter of, we got to get better at doing that because that's what we want to do?
I think if that had been week 1 or week 2, Capital City would have been shut out, you know,
okay.
because that was kind of all the offense was really doing early in the season.
Okay.
Was a lot of those runs up the middle, maybe getting outside a little bit, but
sure.
not too much. Capital City's offense was still able to move relatively well. You know, 14 points from the offense, not a great performance, but they were still able to move the ball, and that was through the air a lot more than they have the rest of the year. I think in the first 5 games, they'd thrown something like 17 passes, and
okay.
I think they threw 13 against Helias, so
okay.
nearly doubling the season total in one game.
Sure.
And, you know, if one thing's not working, we got to do something else.
Right.
They had more success than I think people would have expected, just having not seen them do that at all
sure.
this year.
So I think that kind of segues nicely into, from the standpoint of, if you are going to have to maybe try to, you know, be able to diversify or maybe try some new things that you might need, you know, coming down the stretch, I think we're entering a good stretch for Capital City in that respect in terms of the season, starting with tonight's game at Smith Cotton. I think it's a Smith Cotton team that's struggling. I mean, they're 1-5 overall, 0-5 in the CMAC, while Capital City comes in at 4-2, 3-2. So I think all signs point to this one probably being a victory for Capital City, but this might be one of those games where, one, you might see a few more people that you haven't seen in some games this year, but also if you do want to try something and go, okay, well, maybe we want to diversify a little bit. We want to put this in our bag of tricks. We can try some of that stuff this week.
Yeah, I think when I was talking to Coach Collier this week, you know, I brought up the idea of kind of splitting the season into thirds, which, you know, is a kind of common thing with a 9-game schedule.
Sure.
Those first 3 games for Capital City really, you know, testing out what the Veer could do, what the, you know, what the team this year really looked like. That middle third being Rockridge, Jefferson City, and Helias, really the toughest portion of the schedule. And now you get into Sedalia, Truman, and Kirksville as the finishing 3 teams that haven't had a ton of success this year.
Right.
And, yeah, you have the opportunity to see where you're at depth-wise, maybe try some things with your offense that you haven't been going to as much just to see if it works. Continue the development of the passing game if you want to do that. Because, yeah, maybe against Sedalia, if you're able to get up a couple of scores early, then yeah, you start trying out a couple of things that maybe you didn't feel confident enough to try out against Jefferson City or Helias.
Right. It's one of those things where, you know, Smith Cotton struggled the past couple years. There's no doubt about that, and they're taking their lumps again this year. The one thing I would say that maybe not necessarily a cause for concern, but it does seem like, you know, they really only, yeah, they're 1-5 and they've lost 5 in a row after winning their season opener. There's only kind of really been kind of 2 really lopsided scores in that bunch. So you kind of go, well, yeah, you know, they're still not getting the victories, but, you know, outside of last week's, you know, 50-15 loss at Battle, and then that 49-0 loss to Rockridge, not a lot of the other games have been super lopsided. So you go, maybe it's not just the foregone conclusion that it might have been maybe the past 2 or 3 years with Smith Cotton.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to see Smith Cotton last year, but from looking at their scores and the write-ups that we had against Jefferson City and against Helias, it seems like the difference this year is their offense can really move.
Okay.
They've, I think, averaged about 200 yards on the ground this year, and that's including a game where I think they had maybe like 5 rushing yards against Rockbridge. And so they've passed 300 a couple of times. You know, the offense looks significantly better this year, I think, than it has before, which is keeping them a lot closer in games. But yeah, it's that finishing games aspect where maybe they're not quite there yet.
Sure. Anything else about Smith Cotton specifically that maybe gives Capital City pause or any reason for concern coming into this one?
I guess specifically, Sedalia has a really big defensive tackle named Quan Watkins, who's been pretty impressive this year. You know, he has a good chance to maybe clog up the middle, which again could stop some of those dives that Capital City really loves to run.
Sure.
And, you know, then you have to work more outside, like you're thinking. But, you know, when it's one guy on a defensive line, you can kind of move around him and avoid him a little bit in a way that you couldn't against Helias, who was bringing in, you know, 5, 6, 7 talented athletes coming right at you in the middle.
So as they enter the last third of the season, I think one thing that we always think about is just, you know, how's the overall health of the team at this point in the season? Because it is kind of, you have slogs and some seasons are longer than others, some seasons are cleaner than others. How are things, you know, shaping up for the Cavaliers at this point?
Looks like a clean bill of health.
Great.
They've been without starting center Hayden Miller the last, I think, 3 full games and then a portion of the game before that. Matthew Wiegand's been playing a great center, you know, taking over for him. So I wasn't sure. I'm pretty sure I saw Miller dressed and on the sidelines last game, but he didn't get in at all. So he's fully back now. Coach Collier said they're not in any rush to really, you know, hurry him back in just to get him in.
Sure.
They want him to, you know, focus on the recovery, slowly work back in and be fully healthy by districts. So you'll see more and more of him as we go these next couple of weeks. But that was really the only major injury, you know, that's happened during the season. The rest of them have kind of just been cramps and everything. Nobody's really missed any major time other than him, and now he should be back ready to go.
Awesome. All right, I guess that gets us to the prediction point of the podcast. And how do you think that you see this one playing out tonight?
I'll go with Capital City 28, Smith Cotton 14.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Kyle McAravey, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Kyle McAravey on Twitter at Kyle_McAravey, McAravey. Thanks for listening.